Excellent job, ladies. That was excellent. Appreciate you doing that. Acts chapter number 9. If you're a mother here today, can you stand? How you doing, Ms. Turner? You okay? If you're a mom, how about a round of applause for these ladies? Absolutely. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. I know in my own life, the prayers of my mom changed my life. And I know not everyone can grow up in that or has grown up in that, but thankful I did. The role of the mother is on attack these days, and let us stay true to what the Word of God says. And that's all we need to do. And this is what God says. This is the role. This is the how it goes. And I'm a firm believer in we just do what God says, and He takes care of the rest. And praise the Lord for that. Acts chapter number 9. Are you there? Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. We would normally go to for the conversion of Paul. But tucked away at the end of this chapter, let us not forget about this story. So, Acts chapter number 9 and verse 36. Now, there sat at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. What a lovely name, Tabitha. Maybe you know a Tabitha. I think Tabitha Helserman. The Bible says this, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. If it was me, I'd go with Tabitha. I mean, like, if I had a choice, I don't... Anyways, okay, this woman was, look at what how it describes her. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, what she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, those are two cities, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the testimony of Tabitha. Thank you that she lived a life of example. And Lord, I pray as we go through this passage that we too would take the things that you drew attention to here, and that we too would make personal application in our life. Lord, help us with these things. Lord, again, we thank you for this special day. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we are in this congregation here now, Lord, that God, you would just speak to our hearts through your word in a way that only you can. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In Acts chapter 9, we're approximately anywhere from 3 to 5 years after the resurrection of Christ. It's very new. Peter, again, being firsthand, seeing so many of these things, this is not like generations separated. This is the first generation of Christians. So what's the status of the church? One word, persecuted. Persecuted. That's where they were at. As we know, as we start Acts chapter number 9, there's a man, his name is Saul. He's on his way, where on the road to Damascus, his job or his personal responsibility made by him own, his own self, he got letters, he would go into a town, he would gather the Christians up, bring them back to Jerusalem, try them, put them in prison, torture them, and kill them. We see a preacher preaching the gospel, and what do? They martyr him, and they take his garments and lay them at the feet of Saul. That's the state of the church that we're finding ourselves in. That's where we're at in Acts chapter number 9. Look at Acts chapter number 6. Just a few pages back. Acts chapter number 6. Here we go to this passage. It tells us about the deacons, but I want to draw your attention to verse 1. And in those days, when the of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Why were they, what foothold did they have? What were they accusing them of? The Bible says this, because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. I read that passage and I think, there were so many ladies that didn't have husbands that the needs of these women were going without, but it's because of the great persecution going on. Men for their faith, ladies for their faith, were being killed at this point. So much so that they gathered deacons together and they assembled deacons to be able to handle some of the day-to-day operations and meet the needs of these ladies here. That's a tough time to live. We were praying this morning. I'm thankful there is just about zero restrictions to have church here. We didn't have to go through a checkpoint. We didn't have to show credentials. I don't have to worry about this afternoon. We have pork chops on. We're going to grill some stuff. Mrs. Russo likes pork chops, so we're going to grill pork chops. And we're going to do that and have a nice salad. I don't have to worry about, man, I can't. I hope no one's watching, so I'm not in prison tonight. I don't have any of that. Thank the Lord for that. But here, that's not quite the status of the church. There was a significant impact on the persecution upon the church. But yet, in the midst of persecution, there was a group of people, praise the Lord, that stayed faithful. Isn't that a blessing to read about? Man, we can read all the about all the stories of the people that quit, but tell me about the people that stuck by. Well, Tabitha was one. Tabitha was one. Go back to Acts chapter number 9. We're going to see the testimony of what I would designate as a godly woman. A godly woman. There was a lot of people that died at this time and have died since. I don't know why God made something special about Tabitha. Maybe it was for Peter. Maybe it was for those. I mean, certainly by the end, many believed in the Lord because of this miracle. We're going to talk less about the miracle, more about Tabitha, all right? Number one, in Acts chapter number 9, in verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain, the Bible says this, it doesn't even say woman. It said that she was a disciple. So do you think she was a preacher? Stop it with the preacher stuff, all right? I mean, it says a disciple. What is a disciple? A follower of Christ. Go with me to Acts chapter number 11. You go door to door, you ask someone, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Why? Because I live in America. Everyone is a Christian in America. I mean, we're a Christian nation. That's what we do. That wasn't the case back then. You know what I mean? You weren't a Christian by default. It was a choice. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What made a disciple? A follower of Christ. That's what Tabitha was. What was her background? What was her education? What was her, well, we certainly see that maybe she had some Greek ties or Hebrew ties. Why? Because her name is listed in both. Hebrew and Greek. Strange that Tabitha translates to Dorcas. I don't know, whatever. Sticking with English, I don't know. We're calling her Tabitha because I feel like it's demeaning to call her Dorcas. I don't know why. We're going with Tabitha. Tabitha sounds lovely and motherly. I don't know, okay? So that's where we're at. But what was she? She was a follower of Christ. You understand, to be a follower of Christ, that could cost something at that day. for her to stand up and for it to be known that this woman was a follower of Christ, hey, that would bring some hardships on. That wasn't a by default, all of a sudden a status. No, that was a personal decision to be named a disciple. I encourage you here today, as believers, are you a disciple? Say, of course, look at me, it's Sunday morning, I'm in church. Yeah, but are you a follower of Christ? Look with me in Luke chapter number 9. Hey, if your name is Dorcas here this morning, no offense at all. No offense. I mean, I use the nickname Tabitha, but I mean, that's completely up to you. Luke chapter number 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what a disciple looked like. Ladies, I want you to know that you have a great impact on the church. Say, how so? By being a follower of Christ. Oh, no, that's for the guys. The guys follow Christ. We just come along. No, there's an important role that you fulfill. To be a godly example means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Or be cast away. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Hey, not only a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple is not ashamed. Not ashamed of that, even if it would cost them their life. That's Tabitha. That's how she's described to us. She wasn't just a woman in the church. She wasn't just a fellow believer. She was ascribed the thought, a certain disciple. She was all in. Say, what was her educational background? What kind of finances did she have? Well, she certainly used what she had for the Lord. But I want to encourage you, ladies, get all in. Get all in on the Lord. Hey, gentlemen, get all in on the Lord. Be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, yeah, I did that when I was there. Daily take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Daily. For Tabitha, and for you and I, that means daily. We were talking in our Romans class about the conflict, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Anybody ever experienced that? You know what I'm talking about? All right. So the flesh wants to do this, and the spirit wants to do that. Say, how's it go? I'd like to say 50-50. I don't know. Some days it's easier. You understand that daily we have to yield ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. What a great example that this woman was. What was she known as? Hey, I'm going to ask you today. If you were described, what would be described of you? What is it that you're doing for the Lord? She was willing to spend her own life for the Lord. She was not ashamed. That's the definition of a disciple. Sometimes in our minds we think, okay, this is dozing. Hey, ladies, it's important that you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, it's a real encouragement. I'm thankful for our ladies here. There's a bunch of them in there. I hear them all laughing. Guys in my class are sleeping. They're laughing in that class. Appreciate all that you do. Your heart for the Lord. That's a follower of Christ. That's a daily decision. That isn't when I was 13 at camp and that was 40 years ago. How about today? What did you decide today? Number one, as a godly example, she was a disciple. Number two, look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 36 again. Acts 9:36, and there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Look at how it describes her. This woman was full of good works. Ever do something good? Sure. You knew. I post it on Facebook every time I do, right? I mean, isn't that what we do? I tell everybody. The Bible says that this woman was full of good works. How would your actions be described? Ladies and gentlemen, full of good works? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 tells us to encourage one another and provoke one another unto good works. Who you? Not only are you doing good, who you bringing along with you? Tabitha had some influence. How do you know? Because there's a group of people around her when she gets raised up there and that she's affected and that she's had impact on. Who are you impacting for the Lord Jesus Christ? Apart from her own family, she's reaching out to people, needy people. We're going to see that in a second. Who are you reaching out to? Whose hand are you trying to bring along with you? Who are you provoking unto good works? Matthew chapter number 5. Look at here. Matthew chapter number 5. Look at verse 16. Gentlemen, this is not a message where you just go, yeah, he's talking to the ladies today. I can check out. All of these things are applicable to us also. Hey, be a disciple. Hey, show some good works. Let your light so shine, in verse 16 in Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And do what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is it that you're doing that brings glory and honor to God? Man, the weather's about to be nice. It's there. You're going to see at Wegmans people in shorts and flip-flops this week because it hit 60. You're going to see cars out in the middle of the driveway, people hosing things down, waxing things up. You're going to hear lawnmowers or snowblowers. We're not sure. You're going to hear those things. Hey, those are all good things, but what are we doing that glorifies God? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Yeah, we do a lot of things, but are we doing good works? Works that bring glory and honor to God. That's what Tabitha was about. Once in a while I do. She was full of good works. What a testimony. I read this and I think, why aren't more kids named Tabitha? What a great example of godliness. She was a disciple. She did good works. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God saved you. Hey, we don't become a Christian by our good works. But because we are a Christian, we ought to do something for him. Yeah, amen? All right. We are created in Christ Jesus with a plan, with a purpose, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Say, what exactly is that? It's all written right here. It's all laid out. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Tabitha was a disciple. She was an example of good works. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. Is it a sin to be rich? Yes or no? No. Not a trick question. Oh, I know what you're doing. What? You're going to remind us of where the offering plate is. No, I'm just asking you. It's not. Oftentimes people that have wealth. Charge them. But what do you do with that is the question. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Hey, watch your heart with that. Nor trust in uncertain riches. Hey, if you're trusting in the almighty dollar, you're in trouble. I remember hearing about countries whose inflation rate overnight went out of control, and they're bringing in wheelbarrows full of money to buy a loaf of bread. Not in the United States. Okay, don't trust in that. Hey, use it for God's honor and glory, but be careful that we not forget about the Lord. It says, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Hey, as a Christian, as a Bible believer, and God has blessed you with some resources, make sure you're using those resources for His honor and glory. No, I want bigger, I want faster, I want better, I want... That's not what it says. It says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. The Bible says Tabitha was full of good works. You know what that tells me? That tells me whatever possession she had, she made available to the Lord and used whatever skills and whatever opportunity she had to help other people come closer to Christ. Good works. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Oh, this is important. This is what we try and teach. So in this passage, we talk about men to live sober. We talk about the ladies to live sober, the young men. He says, hey, there's a pattern here. I'm not sure if you saw that. And all these things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. You know what we try and teach our children? Okay, here you go. Here's $10. What do you do? All right, $1 goes in the offering plate. Okay, now let's be wise with the other nine still. Okay, yes, someone said a mean word against you. What do you think you should do? I think I should forgive them. If you're really heartbroken over it, you can approach them. But if you can let it go, it would be good to just let it go. And we teach these principles, right? And we teach them when they're young. Why? Because one day, they're not going to have $10, they're going to have $1,000. And there's a pattern. One day, someone's going to, all right, as it, now this pattern or this thing that you learned as a young child, now do as an adult. A pattern of good works. Good works aren't by accident. There's something taught. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine. That's what this passage is talking about. That we take the principles of God and instruct a next generation. That's what Tabitha did. She not only instructed, but she lived it. She was an example. I remember when teaching high school, and I would say words about how to, you know, factor trinomials or whatever, you know. And I'm saying these words, and it's like Charlie Brown's teacher, womp, 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 womp. And the kid's looking, and it's got that glazed look. And they would say this, can you show me? Can we go to the board, and you just show me what you're talking about? Because honestly, it sounds like you're talking Chinese to me. You know, sometimes, all right, son, or all right, daughter, here's what... Can you show me? Sure, here's the pattern. Is it perfect? No, because we're not perfect. But may our life be a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I'm reading the testimony of Tabitha. Not one person says one evil thing against her. What could be said of you? Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Well, I did something really good over here. Yes, stick with it. Don't quit. Don't stop. What's it say? In verse 8, it says, these things are good and profitable unto men. Hey, it's beneficial to those that are around you. You're going to be an example of godliness. Sometimes we forget of how valuable and how impactful that godly example is. Aren't you glad someone came along one day, not only told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, but discipled you and instructed you and helped you? And taking it, getting it from here to here. Thankful for Tabitha's, who are full of good works. Go back with me to Acts chapter number 9. This woman was a disciple. This woman was full of good works. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, not only that, she did alms deeds. Full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Hey, listen to this. She didn't just talk about what was right, she actually did it. What is alms? So with your money, as we share that, so a tithe, in the Bible, talks three different ways of using your money for tithe is a tenth. An offering is everything above and beyond that. And then there's almsgiving. What is that? That's helping the poor. That's using your money and helping somebody else. That's what she did. Matthew chapter 6. That's what she used her finances for too. Not only tithes, not only offerings, but she used it on others. Do you have a budget line in your budget? Alms. What is that? Being a blessing to others. Here's my tithe, 10% at least. Here's missions. Here's bus ministry. Here, some of you have no kids in the school, and you give faithfully to the school. Man, what a blessing that is. What is that? That's just, man, that's a real encouragement is what it is. And in your budget line, is there money designated every month or every week to be a help to somebody? Say, can you do that? Should I do that? And that's what this woman did. Had an impact. Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. The Bible says, therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Yeah, but you start being kind and generous and loving towards people, you know what? Word gets out. You're going to start having an impact on people. And the Bible says, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He transitions into prayer here. But that's what this woman did. She would find widows, as we'll see at the last point. She'll find widows who seem to be very available at this time in the church. And she would use her resources to be a help. Acts 20:38 reminds us it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so here are example alms deeds, which she did, it said. In James chapter number 1. James 1. I like Tabitha. What a great example. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Hey, meeting the needs of those that cannot repay is something special and divine. Say, why would anyone do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What do I get from that? 1 Corinthians 13:3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. He says, there's a possibility you could do all this without love, but imagine doing those things coupled with love, coupled with charity. Why did Tabitha do this? Because she loved people. She cared about people. Why would she alms deed? Why would she give to someone that could? It wasn't a loan, Jacob. It wasn't like, hey, when you get enough funds, I just want to help you through a hard time. No, she would give it to be a blessing to somebody. Why? Because she cared. Because that's what charity looks like. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It was humbling. But it was a great, great example. Tabitha, a disciple, a follower of the Lord, was full of good works, did alms deeds. And then lastly, look at Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Mrs. Russo's teaching Sunday school this morning. I was teasing her. I said, I'm going to go to like 12:30, 1 o'clock today. She's like, oh. She didn't think that was as funny as I did. Acts chapter 9, verse 39, it says, then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping. So there, Tabitha is dead. And the people that she's impacted are standing around her bed crying. But they're not empty-handed. Look at what they're holding. The Bible says, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. This woman would find widows, and she would use this sewing skill or an ability to help meet their physical needs of garments. And there all these women are clothed by the generosity of Tabitha. What a beautiful thing is happening here. Say, did you forget that she's dead? Not by the end of the story. What I think is beautiful is the impact of one life on so many. Why were they crying? Because someone that truly impacted them was gone. They loved them. They loved her. They loved her. And what brought them together? Tabitha's love and kindness and generosity to them. Her example of being a follower of Christ. Her being full of good works. Her doing alms deeds. Meeting the needs of others. And there they were, standing there with their garments. Look at Proverbs chapter 31. I'm not sure if you can, I'm not sure you're allowed to be a preacher if on Mother's Day you don't go to Proverbs 31. I think they pull your license. There is no license. I'm just, see, half the crowd's like, see, I knew it, the state's involved. No, it's not, I don't have that. There's no license. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, what does it say? She shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. That's what was happening that day. There was a group of women, widows, that were standing there wearing garments that were made by this woman. James chapter number 2. We just have a couple more verses. James chapter number 2. What a great example this woman was. Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Tabitha, Dorcas, would go, and she had a ministry. She would find those women who were widows. Why? It doesn't tell us why they're widows, but we look at the impact of what was going on in the church. It could have very likely been because of their husband's faith. And she would go. And she would clothe them, be kind to them, and live an example. In Mark 14:8, it says she had done what she could, and I just wonder, what could you do? Could you be a follower of Christ? Yeah, I could probably do that. Could you be an example of good works? Could whatever resources the Lord has entrusted you with be used for His honor and glory in the lives of others? I'm not sure the Lord put everything in your life for your own personal consumption. could be for the benefit of somebody else. I know it's Mother's Day, but ladies, I see this example over and over again in our church, and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you have made a decision daily to walk with the Lord. And then best in your ability, by the power of God and the grace of God, you try and serve Him to the fullest. I want to encourage you, don't quit. There was a group of people, you think, what impact is this having? I don't know. Sometimes you don't realize the impact until, I mean, here she is, right? It wasn't until she died, till she maybe recognized the great impact. Who knows? She could have been discouraged. She could have been heartbroken or something like that, thinking, I did all this and had no impact. Then she wakes up, sits up, and everyone glorifies God. Many believed because of her. She used her skill and talents for others. And I'm going to ask you, what do you have in your resources that the Lord may want to use? Have you done what you could? I'm not asking that you, God's not asking you to do but He's asking you to do what you could. Let's all stand. The role of the mother is often first described as sacrifice. Moms do without. That's the life of a mother. And in return, eventually, all of that sowing, you do get to reap. There is a benefit. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. And all that sacrifice, I promise you, will pay off in the end. All of those toe-to-toe with your daughter, nose to nose, telling her to stop and trying to remind her of the scriptures and what God says about things. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Can I encourage you that your work for the Lord is beneficial and does have an impact on others? I know in my own life, I've been benefited and encouraged and strengthened. I know sometimes not everybody says thank you. But can I encourage you to stick with it? Stick with it. Be a disciple. Be a follower of Christ. May all your works be full of good works. Be generous. Be what God has entrusted you with. Share with others. I know we come from a lot of different backgrounds and, you know, parts of town, parts of country, maybe even different countries. But I do know one thing. We all had a mom. Biology 101. I'm thankful for my mom. My mom didn't just implement life, but she helped me come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a praying mom. I had a mom that walked with God. Maybe just in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Maybe you want to come and say, God, I want to be like that. I want to be like Tabitha. Maybe you want to come and just thank God for your mom. Maybe you want to come and pray with your mom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be that example of a follower of Christ. That we too, all of our works would be good works. And that, God, we would be thinking about others with the resources that you've blessed us with. Lord, help us to be faithful with these things. Thank you for the testimony of this woman. Lord, I pray that we too could be that to others. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider this message here this morning? Maybe you just want to come and, again, thank the Lord for your mom. Maybe you want to come and ask the Lord for help. Hey, this isn't just for the ladies. Gentlemen, to be a follower, a disciple of Christ, same description. Is your life an example of what it means to walk with the Lord and to follow Christ? Are you full of good works? Are you help meeting the needs of those that cannot repay, motivated by love? Are you doing what you can?